You're listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Boy, we have a lot to talk about. Raider Nation, what up? Eddie Pascal, Upon Further Review here with producer Trav in the Beat Lab at 1220 Harbor Bay Parkway. And man, let's just get into it. Before we get to the game, obviously we got to talk about Reggie McKenzie no longer the general manager of the Silver and Black. That was announced on Monday afternoon, right before Coach Gruden talked to the media. And, you know, I don't think we're going to get into it too much. I think that, you know, Coach has kind of echoed everything that I think we've said and we could say. And, you know, I think it's important to, obviously, we thank Reggie for everything that he did while he was here for 7 years. Did a lot of great, outstanding things for this franchise. Won the Executive of the Year 2 years ago, obviously. But, yeah, I think that just, you know, we're in an interesting space for us where, you know, we get to see Reggie and his staff around all the time. And I think the one thing, and I talked about this with Chris Townsend on Raiders Live earlier this week, was I think that Reggie brought a very human element to the general manager position. You know, when we traveled on the road, for most of the road trips, not all of them, depending on the seating situation, for most of them, though, I sat right next to him and Joey Klingscales. And just to see Reg in a game, see how much he cared, how much this organization meant to him, you know, he was a guy that he was just a good dude. He's a guy that you found yourself rooting for, a guy that was always really great with us. I know that he wasn't a huge fan of us taking cameras in his face and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, whenever we asked him to do anything, he was great. And I think over the past couple of years especially, we got to see a little more of that personality come out. And he was great with, like I said, with all the things that we asked of him in terms of what we do for Raiders.com and things like that. And, you know, we wish Reg the best, obviously. A really good guy, a guy that we're all hopeful will land on his feet, and I'm sure he will. But, yeah, no longer the GM for the Silver and Black. And as our release said, we're going to, you know, we're on the search process now. We're going to find, you know, it's an exciting time just to think of, there's going to be a new body in here, a new energy, a new person to kind of fill that front office personnel role. We don't know exactly what that role is going to look like right now, but I think there's a lot of exciting names that have been linked to us, and obviously I don't know, and Trav doesn't know who it's going to end up being, but, you know, it's exciting. But like I said, just a thank you to Reggie McKenzie, just as a guy, for being great with us. We wish you all the best, and I'm sure our paths will cross again. But, man, how about that game? Oof. My goodness. My goodness, my goodness. Mamma Mia Pizzeria. What a game. Silver and Black take care of business in thrilling fashion, and I say that in all seriousness. It was bonkers. 24-21 over the Steelers Sunday afternoon. We see Derek play arguably his best game of 2018, I think. You know, you look at his line, 25 of 32, 322, two tutties, no picks, pass rating of 122.4. I mean, that'll do. That'll do. I mean, Derek was, I was talking to Seth, my guy Seth Roberts, after the game, and I was telling him, I was like, dude, it felt very reminiscent of 2016 Derek. And the Derek we saw for glimpses of last year. I mean, the MVP candidate Derek, the Derek stepping up in the pocket, the Derek evading pressure, the Derek unleashing that behemoth of an arm. Fourth quarter Derek. That's what we saw on Sunday. Yeah, buddy, we saw that. But man, you know, I think we can say this now since we won the game, and obviously we're sitting here happy on a Wednesday or whatever. Yeah, today's Wednesday. But man, the first half of that game, first three quarters maybe, kind of boring, you know? Obviously, you know, there's that drama of Big Ben coming out, then coming back in. And also, Mike Tomlin, no need to take a shot at our equipment guy. No need for that. Anyways. But yeah, kind of a boring game. You have the drama, like I said, of Ben coming out, coming back in. Also, shout out to Big Ben for, that dude's a beast. I mean, that dude's going to the Hall of Fame one day. and for good reason. Just a monster. But yeah, I mean, you look at the game and yeah, kind of an game in terms of entertainment value. But man, that last, let's see, call it the last three, not even 3 minutes. Oh no, we'll call it the last 7 minutes regulation. Jeez. My goodness. Raiders up 17-14. Steelers bounce back, go up 20-17. Just over 2 minutes left. And fourth quarter, Derek came to play, baby. He came to play. 5 of 7 for, I think, 75 yards on that final drive. Yeah, let's just go through the play-by-play. Get the ball with just under 3 minutes left. DC goes short to Jalen, 5 yards. To Aitman for another 10. To Cook for 16. Excuse me, 14. Two-minute warning. You come back, and Seth T., my man, rises up. DC finds him for 39 yards. Derek, then we get Jalen over left guard for 1 yard. Incomplete pass. Another incomplete pass. We get 25 seconds left. 25 seconds left. And I'm thinking, at this point, I'm on about version 8 of the game story. I've written it as, we won, we've lost, we've won again. I have like, I should have taken a screenshot of my screen at the time, because I had literally about 2.5 stories done of how the game was going to end. And then, so we score. So DC finds Derek Carrier for 6 yards, touchdown. Got 21 seconds left. Oh, but those Steelers made it interesting, didn't they? They sure did. Big Ben finds, who did he find? They run the hook and ladder. They go 43 yards. 5 seconds left. Tick, tick, tick. I'm freaking out. Tick, tick. I'm writing we're going to overtime. Tick, 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 tick. Chris Boswell comes out for a 40-yarder, slips. Raiders win. A blessing. Coliseum goes wild. Madness. Producer Trav, what were you doing on that final kick? Were you already in the presser room?
No, actually, I was down on the field for once because normally I'm setting up
high level business to it.
Yeah,
get
so
to.
I actually was there filming the sideline reactions, and it was pretty wild. I didn't even see him slip. I just heard and assumed that he missed.
Dude, in the spirit of full transparency, I thought they were going to knock that field goal, and I thought we were going to overtime. I really did. In my heart of hearts, I thought we were going to go to overtime. Now, to be fair, I thought we were going to win in overtime just because Derek, that fourth quarter in that last drive.
Money.
And I was like, all right, fine. We're going to go to overtime. We'll get the ball, march down, tutty. No problemo. But, man, the missed kick, oh, my God, drama. And Derek put it as his second best win behind that Kansas City game last year.
It was pretty thrilling.
Speaking of another game where I had to rewrite the game story about 8 times, it was the 37 untimed downs. Was that an overtime win or we didn't win that in regulation? I think that was a regulation win.
I think that
win.
Was regulation, yeah. The untimed downs because it was
– yeah.
We expired. Yeah.
Unreal. An unreal game. But we talked earlier – we actually talked last week, Travis, about how the Raiders needed a signature win. We got it, baby. We got it.
Another win for upon further review.
And – the positive mojo keeps rolling. Daniel Carlson, Cash Money Carlson, baby. Young Moolah Carlson. Money again.
Who do you got for me this week?
We got, well, teaser Trav. He's got a great beard. We'll get to him in a second, though. But in all seriousness, man, that was a huge win for the Raiders. I tweeted it out after the game, standing outside that locker room with the doors closed. You can hear just the team going crazy. And those are the moments you live for, man. I mean, obviously, the season hasn't gone the way that we've hoped or expected or wanted, but man, I tweeted out almost after every win, and you have to enjoy the wins in the NFL. You have to. I mean, they're hard to come by. I don't care if you're 0-16 playing a team, or 0-15 playing a team that's 15-0, or vice versa. I mean, it is hard to win in this league, and you absolutely have to celebrate those victories. But before we move on from the Steelers, real quick, I just want to give a quick shout out to our DBs. Incredible. Exceptional. Dare I say dominant? I mean, you look at AB's day, Antonio Brown, who I think we can all agree is one of the two or three dudes in the NFL. I mean, there are not a lot of wide receivers. There might not be a lot of playmakers straight up who are better than AB. AB's line, let me pull it up for a quick second. I got to go down the stat sheet because not a lot there. 5 catches, 35 yards. That's back-to-back weeks now. The Raiders' defensive backs have essentially taken out the team's number one wide receiver. And actually, well, I'll just spill the beans to you now, Trav. Daryl Worley is our guest this week. And so I'm going to ask Daryl about, I mean, that's incredible, man. To shut down Tyreek, to shut down AB after the kind of season that this defense has had for parts of it where it started out a little rough, to get to where they're at now. And I know that the total yardage is still there and all that jazz. And I know Juju Smith-Schuster ate. Shout out to Juju because he's a monster too. But, like, man, to do that against arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL and to do it last week against a top three, top five guy, man, good stuff, powerful stuff. Anyways, we move on to everyone's, well, not everyone's favorite, but a good segment, housekeeping. What has happened? What has happened since we last spoke? Well, believe it or not, in terms of transactions, slow week for us. Wild. There were some things we got to get to. So, like I said, housekeeping. We've signed Cameron Hunt, who, if you remember, was with us in camp, an Oregon legend. Shout out to Cam Hunt. And brought back Denver Kirkland. He's back. Welcome home. Corresponding moves, we waived C.J. Anderson and put John Feliciano on IR. And, you know, Mongo is a guy that we talk about it a lot, who just never gets the credit for how versatile and how valuable he is. He's the backup center. He can play essentially any of those three interior line positions. And you need guys like him on teams. You absolutely have to have him. And unfortunately, his season is going to end 3 weeks early. But, man, just another great season for John, a dude that we like a lot. I know a guy that our guy KMM is a big fan of, considering his esport fandom, I guess. I don't really know what the right word is, but his affinity for the esports. There we are. But yeah, man, John, get well soon, and hopefully we see you around. But outside of the game, outside of getting rid of Reg, more to go on, Trav. So we announced today we're going back on the road, baby. International Raiders 2020. One of five teams that are going to be hitting the road, getting out of the contiguous United States. Don't know where we're going. Could be going to Mexico. Could be going to London. Could be going to Canada. Could be going to Brazil. I don't know. No one knows. But we're excited. So we'll keep you guys updated on that as soon as we know anything. But it's exciting, man. I know that some people, or I wouldn't say people, but I know some teams are a little leery doing the international stuff. I know you got to give up a home game, and travel is obviously a little more rigorous than just popping from here to Kansas City or whatever it is. But it's a blast. It's one of the things that I've looked forward to the past couple seasons and getting to do. And it's a really cool, unique experience. I think London, we've done London and Mexico now, and then you just get to see, for me anyways, it's cool to see how much the game is an international game now. How many people are fired up about us coming, or the Seahawks, or, you know, the Chargers, the Rams, the Jaguars, whoever it is. It's a pretty neat deal, and I'm excited to go hit the road once again in 2019. So here we are. And because this hasn't been a busy enough news week, Vegas 2020, the draft is coming, baby. Woo! That'll be something. That'll be pretty cool. Be in and around the strip, a lot going on. The draft has turned into just a spectacle, just an absolute spectacle. So it'll be cool to see what we got going on in Vegas, how the city, because it's going to be a citywide kind of deal. It's not going to be just a Raiders thing. It'll be a citywide celebration of football americano. And I'm excited, man. It'll be a lot of fun. Obviously, a little bit down the road there, and we got a lot to accomplish between now and then. But mark your calendars, guys. Come hang out with us, and we'll get after it, brother. You're gosh darn right we will. But you've heard enough of me talking. So Daryl Worley has been kind enough. He's been sitting outside waiting. Like a good patient guy. So Daryl, come on in. Daryl's here. Sits down. So Daryl, as you know, this is a serious podcast, a very serious podcast. So I have to ask you, do you have the best beard on this team?
Oh man, I may have one of the best beards in the league.
In the league?
In the league.
Who's got a better, like, who could you compare in terms of beard quality to you? Jelly's got a good one. I like Jelly's beard, but I see you raising your eye just a little bit.
I mean, Jelly's my guy. I'm not going to knock him, but I think the only one that may be even close to me right now, and this is sports worldwide, is like James Harden, maybe.
Oh.
Maybe.
I can see a little Harden beard in there.
Yeah, a little bit.
How long does it take to go from clean shaven to full beard like that?
This one took me, now I'm like 11 months strong of just no shave at all.
Nothing?
Yeah, just letting it go.
Now, I've wondered this because it's kind of like one of my great embarrassments is my younger brother can grow a full beard. Like, if he wanted to, he could look like you in probably like a year, right? He could do the full deal. I haven't shaved in about a week, and I have about as baby face as a baby face can be. So I don't know, like, anything about the beard maintenance game.
Mm-hmm.
None of that. So do you have to, are there oils involved? Is it conditioning? Because I imagine probably you got to clean it.
Really, it's conditioning for me. That's one thing I stay on top of is deep condition it when I wash my hair. I don't do many oils. I don't like really chemicals or anything.
I don't put anything in my body. Yeah. I'm scared of all that
stuff. My biggest fear is that like I put some oil in it and it just starts shedding and falls off. Oh. And I'm just like, oh, my God.
Jeez. So how long have we reached like max capacity with the beard? Or do you think it's still got a little...
I think it still has some length in it. I mean, sometimes when I'm like picking it out, I still find some hairs that are longer than usual. So I think we still got some growth in it.
That's cool, man. All right. So maybe one day if I don't shave for the next 13 years, I'll look like you. But I don't want to blow your cover here, but I saw on Instagram a couple of guys posting DJ Daryl at the party the other night. So I know you were telling me earlier you don't have a DJ name, nothing like that. So how do you get into the mixing on the ones and twos?
It's crazy. My older brother actually DJs like in his spare time.
Okay.
Yeah, just for like extra money, he does it. I mean, he's actually really good. So like I've watched him do it, and really I think the biggest thing with it is like just keeping the same tempo and the energy in the songs. Try to keep things related. When you're mixing in and out, I mean, I'm not that good at mixing. I kind of just switch songs like I was on an aux court.
But that's like the great, like, I mean, you're only like a year or two younger than me, but being at college back in the day and you got the one homie who just posts in the corner and it's just on the iPad or whatever, just playing around.
Yeah.
So what was the vibe that you were going for the other night?
Honestly, it was just kind of like a mellow vibe when we got there. I think Michael Jackson was playing when we walked in.
Okay.
I was like, oh, man, this is going to be a party. We got to make this a party. So just try to get some up-tempo, some Migos, some new songs.
Top three songs that have to be played at a party from DJ Worley.
That's a tough one.
It's actually funny. So we were having this conversation yesterday in the studio. We were talking about when we were in college, all reminiscing about better times, right? Mm-hmm. About the songs that, like, when you're sitting in like a grimy basement somewhere and it comes on. And the ones that we came up with were Pop That, Any Early Tyga.
Oh, yeah.
Any Early Tyga got the people going. And then Engineer Jim, what was the other one we were talking about? There was another song that we had. Oh, it was Headband, the 2 Chainz song.
Okay. Yeah. Those are some pretty good songs. I think I got to go back to probably some old like... some Hot Boys.
Oh.
You might have to throw some Hot Boys into some classics.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter when you play it, but Genuine.
Oh.
Yeah, you got to throw some of that in there.
Yep.
Because it doesn't matter how people are partying. And no matter what my playlist is, I always have some Drake in it.
You got to. And the key, too, is that like even thinking back to like a good house party, whatever it is, you can't give the people a chance to go down.
No,
you
got to.
Once you get them to 8 or 9, you got to keep them there.
You got to.
You got to keep them there because if you give them a chance, if you play like you like the Marvin's Room route and you bring them down, you can't recover from it.
Yeah,
it's impossible.
Once people sit down, they're probably most likely not getting back up.
Yeah. So I'm getting married next summer,
and
I don't know what. Thank you. I don't know if DJ Daryl is in the budget. But we'll fly you up to Seattle. We'll get you on the ones and twos.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I get like an employee discount, right?
Oh
I
yeah.
Mean, there has
I won't
to be.
Even. I'll do it just for the fun.
Just for free.
Yep.
All right, Kirsten, if you're listening, Daryl Worley has confirmed. We don't have to worry about a DJ anymore. We don't have to worry about a band or anything. We're gonna have Daryl in the mix.
Yep.
So on a somewhat serious note, though, I mean, back-to-back games. You look at what you guys have been doing as DBs. You shut down Tyreek. You shut down AB last week, two of the best dudes in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, essentially, over the past month, the defense is playing some much improved football. What's been the difference from, you know, the past month to earlier in the year?
I think it's all starting to gel at this point right now in the season. We wish it could have happened a little bit earlier, but, I mean, we took so many puzzle pieces from different puzzles and started to create our own. So now you're really starting to see the big picture of what the defense is capable of and what we're capable of as a team. And from the D line to the linebackers to the back seven. I mean, we're really just clicking on all cylinders at this point. Guys are getting closer on and off the field, so it's really starting to come together.
I mean, like we said, Tyreek 2 weeks ago, AB on Sunday. I'm curious, as a guy who's now been in the league for a minute, you're certainly not an old man by any stretch, but a guy who's been in the league, who do you think the toughest receiver is to go up against? Maybe not like the best receiver pound for pound, but who's like, all right, this dude's going to be a problem on Sunday?
Definitely those two guys that you named. Those are pivotal guys, and it took not one guy's effort, but all seven of us on the back end to be able to shut down a guy like that. I think coming into any week, the toughest guy I think to guard would definitely be Julio.
Really?
Yeah, just because of not only his stature, but what he brings to the game. I mean, he has that speed of a AB or Odell. So he's able to do those type of things, make the crazy acrobatic plays, and still you have to deal with his stature at 6'4", 225.
Julio's the guy to me that's always crazy, because, like, just as, like, a fan of football, like, I love watching Julio play, but I feel like Julio never gets – like his like fair shot. And I think it's probably because he doesn't pop off as much. He's not saying crazy stuff. He's not super flashy, but like that dude is a beast. Like he reminds me a lot, just in terms of like his temperament and everything, of like Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's actually a great comparison. I mean, he's not really the typical wide receiver where he's like flashy or doing this or doing that off the field. He's more of a quiet guy. And I mean, he just goes out there and makes his plays when he has to.
I mean, Larry Fitz is 74 years old and he's still going to go for 1,000. He's going to go for 1,000 yards.
Exactly.
Just in terms of like guys that like don't pop off or anything like that. Are you a big, big smack talker?
No, not at all. Yeah, that's it.
It's like the anti-corner, though, bro. You got to be able to just chirp a little bit.
Yeah,
huh?
I mean, a lot of guys talk. I don't really – I mean, if you start with me, then you'll see it'll come out of me. But I don't really start with a lot of people.
Best smack talker on the team?
Best smack talker.
I've heard Gabe is a pretty good talker, Gabe Jackson.
I don't know. I never really hear him, because that's been me be in the trenches type of thing. But I don't know. I don't know if we really have one. I mean, I was coming from Carolina where you couldn't go to a practice and have like a span where Cam didn't say anything.
Really?
Cam, he literally talks the entire practice.
That surprises me a little bit.
No, it shouldn't. It should not. He talks he'll talk from the second the whistle's blown to the second the whistle stops at the end of practice. So I haven't been around anyone that can ever match that.
Is he, like, good at it, though, or is he just, like, talking and saying nothing?
Oh, yeah, he's definitely good at it. He's talking to everyone. He's talking trash to the D linemen, to the DBs, to anyone.
Dude, it's funny. I read this article about Allen Iverson wrote a thing for the Players Tribune last week, so I finally got around to reading it. And he was saying, he's like, yeah, people don't think, like, I talk smack. And he's like, I don't know, just, like, wasn't me. It wasn't my deal. But he goes, what I would do is, he goes, I'm a crazy drawer. So if, like, someone was, like, getting in my ear during the game, mm-hmm. like, I'd go home and I would just, like, cartoon them up and, like, put them in this book or whatever. I was like, damn, that's a pretty, like, that's a very, like, interesting way to, like, get in someone's head. Just like, let me draw it out.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So we were actually joking last week. And as I'm sure, I mean, you weren't in college that long ago either. You can remember just the absurdity of like all these bowl games mm-hmm. and just, like, the names of all these bowl games.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They're ridiculous, right? And I went – it was very, like, old man-ish of me, but I went on, like, a bit of a rant. I was like, we have all these bowls. Like, I want there to be, like I don't care if there's 100 bowls, right? Because, like, mm-hmm. I like college football. Like, I enjoy watching.
Yeah.
But the absurdity of these names is ridiculous.
I mean, it's they're really – I think a lot of people don't realize it just as being fans. Like, they're really, like, trendy. So, like, a lot of bowl games, their names are switched from what's popular going on, whether it's a brand name or anything like that. And that wasn't a thing I've realized until I actually got in college. Like, it seemed like it's a new bowl game each and every year, but they may have just took an old one.
They just changed the name.
Yeah.
So, speaking of, we're going to put you on the spot to see if you can figure out the real bowl game or a fake bowl game.
Okay.
So, here we go. First bowl game. You tell me whether this is a real game or not. The Camellia Bowl.
No. Fake.
That is a real bowl game featuring Eastern Michigan and Georgia Southern.
Oh, wow.
Next up. The Dollar General Bowl.
Oh, that's real.
That is a real one.
Yeah.
That's real. That's Buffalo and Troy are getting together. Third one, the Hen House Bowl.
No, that's fake.
That is a fake one.
Yeah.
That's just my favorite beer. The Cheez-It Bowl.
Yeah, I can see that.
That is a dude, you're 4-4. That is a real bowl game. TCU and Cal. We have two more. The Beef and Bourbon Bowl.
No, that's fake.
Yeah, that's a fake one, too.
Yeah.
And let's see. Yes, the last one, the Blackjack Bowl.
Blackjack Bowl. It would have to be played in Vegas, so I'm going to say fake.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You went 6-for-6. You killed it. My little game only ended up humiliating myself. You went 6-for-6. You played in a couple bowl games at West Virginia, though. Like, what were the swag bags like? Did you get any good stuff in there?
Yeah, I think my sophomore year we got a really good bag. We played against Texas A&M. I forgot what the bowl game was called. Those things are so like they're so crazy.
And yeah.
It really, I think the biggest thing now is like when you have such that high clip at the with the playoffs and those games, yeah. It's just like you kind of feel upset if you're not in one of those.
Yeah, but I'm sure you at least get like a Best Buy gift card or something. Yeah. You know. Do you still rock your bowl game gear? Or is that just hanging out in the Worley man cave somewhere?
I may have gave all that stuff to my dad. Yeah, just let smart. Him wear it.
Yeah, that's smart. I'm curious. I won't put you on the spot or anything, but like, so West Virginia quarterback not playing the bowl game, mm-hmm. and I'm very much on the record where like, I'm 100% cool with that. Mm-hmm. Like this dude's going to the league. I get it. Like I get not wanting to like mm-hmm. mess up your future and all that, but. As a player, like, how do you kind of – is it kind of like a case-by-case basis, or how do you guys look at that?
I wouldn't say that it's really I don't really judge many people in yeah. that situation because, I mean, at the end of the day, they have to value their worth and what they have going forward. I mean, you got to think he had injuries, kind of got banged up a little bit during the season, so to risk going out there and messing up the next 4 months of his career is which is going to be the most important. So you don't really want to put yourself in that situation. So when a guy makes a business decision like that, which it ultimately is, you can't really judge them or fault them.
I'm the same way too, where I think that, you know, another like kind of old man pedestal that I've been on for years is like the NCAA takes such advantage of these college kids. And so like if you're, you know, in a position where you're like, all right, my next step is going to go play pro ball somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like I 100% get it. Not wanting to risk that and not yeah. wanting to put yourself at any, you know, in dangerous way for anything.
Yeah.
Like if I was in that situation, literally I would sit in my room for 6 months. I would go work out in the morning, do whatever I needed to do yeah. and come home and watch TV. Cause it's like, it's just not worth it to go to put yourself through anything crazy like that
for
whatever. Last one before we get you out of here, and I appreciate your time, is going against a quarterback Sunday in Cincy, a guy who hasn't played a whole lot with their piece. I mean, what kind of challenges does having a veteran guy like Driscoll in there, but he's not their guy. They're kind of a patchwork offense. Does that make it more difficult for you guys to kind of scout and see what they like to do, or how does that whole situation work out?
Yeah, I would definitely say as far as scouting and preparing, it's a lot more difficult just because you don't have as much film or as much to study just because that guy hasn't been in that position for as long. So, I mean, you really have to prepare, I think, even more now with a situation like that. And, I mean, we learned from our – not a mistake, but it was just a lesson, which was earlier in the season when we went into the San Fran game, going to a guy that wasn't necessarily matured or experienced as much in the offensive pieces and was able to go out there and make plays against us.
With Tyler Boyd's obviously their guy that mm-hmm. makes a lot of plays, going to go over 1,000 yards this year. I mean, what's he do really well?
Actually, funny story. Well, me and TB are pretty close.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, we trained combine training and stuff coming out together. So
you guys the same year?
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We both came out early.
Oh.
Yeah. So TB, I know he's already a hell of a player already. And he's always has been. So I mean, to see him step into a role like that this year and be able to make the most of it, I'm definitely proud of him.
Nice. Well, I hope he has a great year. I hope he does well, except for Sunday. I hope he gets nothing on Sunday.
Exactly.
I hope the hot streak for the Raiders DBs continue. Appreciate you, man, and good luck Sunday. We'll see you out there.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you, Daryl. Daryl, entertaining dude, man. That was a lot of fun. I appreciate him hanging out, spending a little bit of time with us. And, yeah, man, like we said, they're going to have their hands full come Sunday, but I'm excited. So, here we go. Everyone's favorite segment, still sponsorless. We're looking at you, Hen House, and Lagunitas, and Nike, and Taco Bell. Anyone you want to shout out this week, Travi?
Let's go Apple.
And Apple.
Yeah, Apple never sponsors anyone, so why not?
Yeah, come on down. It's the Victory Formation. Eddie Pascal, producer Trav, joined per usual by the great Kyle Martin Media, our senior esports correspondent, our senior fashion correspondent, our executive director of collegiate scouting, and a man of many, many, many titles. Welcome, Kyle.
Eddie, thank you for having me on. I would like to say, though, I feel like you should be crowned the fashion expert because that's more your realm than mine.
Well, you did tweet out a pretty harsh take against those bell-bottom jeans
a few days ago. You saw them. That's a terrible pant.
It's a bad pant.
You literally would wear those and look like Gumby.
Yeah, they're bad pants.
No, no one should be wearing those.
No.
If those come back, I just won't wear clothes.
You'll pull a Marcus.
Yeah.
Refuse.
Yeah, I won't do it. I won't participate in that.
So, Kyle, before we get into it, I know that as our senior lead on most things draft related, I have to ask, will you be throwing your hat in the ring for our new front office position?
I would like to, you know, try my you know, get in the scouting department maybe. You know, sure. Try my luck.
Yeah.
I probably won't offer much, but, you know, it's you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Isn't
that
right, boys?
That's true. A wise man once said. A wise man once said. So Travi and I were talking earlier about, earlier today, the news of our international trip has come up again. And so we don't know where we're going. We discussed it briefly yesterday in our group Slack channel about places that we thought the game perhaps could be played.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know the opponent. We don't know the date. Really, we don't know anything. So thank you, NFL. We know nothing. We know that we're going somewhere, playing someone at some point in 2019, but I got nothing for you. So, Kyle, where would you like us to go?
Oh, man. We touched on this a little bit, like you said, in our Slack channel. I want to go somewhere new, for sure.
Mm.
I believe it was you that threw out Dubai, not to steal yours.
Yeah,
but
I did say Dubai.
What an extravaganza that would be. They'd pull out all the stops, I feel like. The entire showmanship of what would be going on would be outstanding.
It would be a celebration, no doubt about that.
I would like to go to Italy.
Okay. Do they have a stadium that could house such an event?
I mean, they have soccer clubs everywhere.
That's true. But, I mean...
We've just played in Wembley.
Yeah, but Wembley's like it's like the stadium. You know what I mean? It's
sure.
Like where their national team plays. And it's not like we were playing at, you know, Watford's home pitch.
All right.
That houses like 25 stacks.
That's fair. I mean,
Italy's a good one, though.
Or you could go Spain. What did I tell you earlier today? Or yesterday, right?
Yeah, yesterday.
I told you yesterday that what I would give to go to the Santiago Bernabeu.
Mm.
If we were to play in Madrid at Real Madrid Stadium, the Santiago Bernabeu, I would be tickled
that
with joy.
That would be dope.
I think the Raiders did play in Spain at one time.
We have played,
right?
In Spain. Spain and Japan, I believe, are the two countries outside of Mexico and London and obviously the beautiful United States that we've kicked off. But if memory serves, the Spain and Japan games were preseason games, so not officially on the ledger. But yes.
But there is a stadium in Spain that could house us.
That was mainly the point why I brought it up, because the Bernabeu and Camp Nou, you know, I mean, that's where Barca plays, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, either of those could house thousands upon thousands of fans. So I think those would be more realistic destinations. What do you have in mind?
Oh, man. Dubai would be dope. I don't even know how long the flight is to Dubai. Can we fly direct there?
I don't know.
You know what we got to do? We got to get Security Bob on the pod at some point to break down. So for those who don't know, Security Bob is our head security guy.
Maybe he doesn't want to be revealed, Eddie.
Yeah, well, I'll just say that. His name is Bob. That's all you need to know. That's all I know.
Yeah.
But I know he keeps us safe on the road. Yeah, man. I don't know. How long would that direct flight be to?
Probably like 18 hours or something.
18 hours.
Trav, you just know this kind of stuff off the top of your head. So what's the longest of a commercial airliner can fly direct?
That I don't know, because I think it depends on the plane.
Sure.
But I mean, like, the flight to Australia is like,
it's like 16
14, hours. 15 hours, something like that.
It's up there. When I went to
you're not stopping.
Zurich last summer, that was 12.
Yeah, that's nothing, though.
No, exactly. Yeah. And I feel like it could have, you know.
But I think most, like, I don't know if there's a direct flight to Dubai from, like, L.A. or something. I doubt it.
Well, if anyone who's listening out there, I know you guys, we enjoy your feedback. If someone could look up whether or not you can fly direct from either SFO or Oakland to Dubai, please. Please hit our lines at Eddie Pascal or at Kyle's feed.
It would be greatly appreciated. But do people that go to Australia, though, do they take a connecting flight in Hawaii?
No, because I've looked into this because I'm curious about going there. And actually, I think I'm not sure if there's one from San Francisco, but for sure LAX straight to, like, Sydney.
That's got to be a massive plane.
Yeah, I think it's one of those double-decker ones.
Oh, my good, like an air mall? An Airbus?
The Airbus, yes.
Yeah.
You guys ever been on a double-decker plane?
No.
I might have been on a British Airways one, but I don't remember.
Interesting.
You?
No. No. Hmm. I mean, as you guys know, our little jaunt to London was the first time I've been to Europe. So I've been out of the country before a handful of times, but I never... Never Europe, and that was the longest plane ride I've ever been on. But we're going to Cincinnati on Friday. I guess that's kind of cool. I've never been to Cincy. I don't think you haven't been there either, have you?
No.
So this will be a first for all of us. KMM, you're hitting the road again with us. A blessing. Man, Cincinnati, huh?
Yeah, you asked me earlier this week if I knew anybody from Cincinnati.
I did.
And I do.
Which floored me.
Yeah. My close friend's mother, who essentially is like my second mom growing up, she's from out there, and she actually texted me a long list of things to try or see while in Cincinnati.
Let's hit that list. How many items is that list?
Well, it's kind of broken up. It's not like, you know, numbered or anything like that. So it's kind of just, you know.
Sure. Hit me with, all right, we got a new segment. Kyle's top three things to do in Cincinnati. Kyle, starting at three.
All right. Lots of fun things on the riverfront, / in Covington, which is, I believe, across the river in Kentucky.
Sure, sure.
So technically not in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I don't know if I vibe that.
Lots of bars and pubs, you know, sure. Good eateries.
Sure.
She said the delicacies there, you'll have to try a Skyline or Gold Star Cheese Coney. I'm unfamiliar with what either of these things were. She said there's no further description that's needed, but you'll either love it or hate it. Ha ha.
I think it's chili related on that, the Coney one.
Yeah?
I believe so.
Trav, you strike me as a big chili connoisseur.
It's a different kind of chili, though.
Oh, okay. I mean, I don't really know what a different kind of chili would consist of.
I was researching it last night. It's a little bit
You seem like a kind of guy.
Liquidy.
You seem like the kind of guy, Trav, who goes to like a chili cook-off.
Yeah,
I've always wanted to go to a chili cook-off.
She also threw out, check out the Fountain Square downtown over the Rhine, apparently. It's kind of quirky.
Isn't the Rhine in France?
Germany, yeah.
Or Germany? You know geography is not my strong suit.
She also said, if any of us are willing to go see a movie, she said Union Terminal is a train station converted into an IMAX theater.
That's kind of dope, actually.
Yeah, which is, I can't say I've ever heard of a train station being converted into an IMAX. I don't even know if I've been to an IMAX movie, truthfully.
What?
Yeah, I don't know if I've had that full-blown experience. It sounds incredible.
IMAX is pretty dope. What was the last IMAX film you saw, Trav?
Had to be on some school field trip probably a long
really?
Time ago.
Really?
Like, I haven't gone, because before, like, they started putting, like, Batman and all those movies in there.
Yeah.
It was just, like, science stuff.
Oh, yeah, so that's true. That's
I don't
true.
Even remember.
That's true.
What but about you?
Last IMAX movie? Man, I saw the OG Batman in IMAX.
That's legit.
Yeah, it was
Begins?
Pretty cool. Yeah.
The Batman
yeah.
Begins.
Yeah, I remember I drove myself into San Francisco as a youngster, checked it out.
You went solo?
Sure. Yeah, I went alone. But yeah, it was cool. It was a cool thing. I mean, I was a weird kid, man. Weird dude.
Dude, I love seeing movies by myself.
Yeah, but the fact
it's the way to go, man.
But no, I mean, you guys both know, first of all, I have no shame in going to a movie alone. None. I love it. I look forward to it. It's more the fact that I drove about an hour. You know what I mean? You know
all
what
right,
I'm saying?
Yeah. But, I mean, there's probably not an IMAX out. I mean, there might be now. I mean,
yeah,
you,
maybe.
You in high school is,
yeah,
what,
ten years ago?
Yeah.
Is it the Metreon?
Yes. But, yeah, no, I love going to movies by myself. I'm going to probably do it in next weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll have to let me know what you go see.
Yeah.
There's a good amount of flicks out right now.
We'll do movie reviews with Eddie. I saw You Can Never Believe Me, or excuse me, You Can Never Forgive Me.
With Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, we were talking about this. 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I'm not a big Rotten Tomatoes believer necessarily. It was 98%, and Kirsten was like, oh, we got to go. It's going to be incredible. Decent at best.
Huh. I hate to say that I am a Tomatoes believer, because I don't want to judge a movie based on some other person's review.
Exactly.
But it depends on what it is, because if it's not like a blockbuster movie or anything that I'm probably not going to go see in theaters anyway, it makes or breaks whether I'm willing to spend the $37,000 that it costs to go see a movie and get some popcorn.
See, I don't know. Maybe it's who I am as a person. I just don't put much stock in movie reviews. I just don't.
People almost, when it comes to movie reviews, people almost try to go out of their way to be negative, you know, or like try to be original and just not like a movie for the sake of not liking it, just because other people like, you know, it's very, like there's a lot of politics.
Here's a perfect
in it that
example.
I don't
understand. Here's a perfect example of when we were on our trip to London. Obviously, we're on a 10-hour flight and we're headed out there, and I hadn't seen Solo. I'm obviously a big Star Wars fan, and it was on the flight, and I checked it out, and you know, I had heard some harsh reviews against the film. I was thoroughly entertained for 2 hours.
Well, yeah, I watched it too on the way back from Baltimore, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, is it going to win an Oscar? Probably not, but I don't need every movie I watch to win an Oscar.
No,
I don't.
I don't feel like it brought down the sanctity of the Star Wars
saga.
No,
I thought it was a valiant effort. I thought it was a good chapter. Was it the best chapter? Certainly not. Was it the worst chapter? No, certainly not. I thought it was a good movie. I was entertained for 2 hours, and that's all I asked for, so... Rotten Tomatoes will not be a sponsor of this podcast.
Yeah,
you mark my words.
Do not waste your time with reviews or critics.
But I'm curious though, Trav, because Trav actually, in all seriousness, among us is a learned scholar in terms of cinema. The man went to USC Film School.
You've worked on multiple sets as well, have you not?
Yeah, I've worked on some features and multiple things.
What do you watch movies differently than Kyle and I, do you think? Has the experience been ruined for you?
I think it does kind of ruin your experience, because instead of just following the story or characters or whatever, I'm looking at everything else.
Mm.
The shots, mostly.
I was just going to say, because also as a video producer, that's probably what you pay attention to more, right?
I mean, I probably watch like Goodfellas, you know, 200 times
or
something.
Great film.
And, you know, analyze every little thing in it.
I just can't stand predictability. I can't do it in a movie. You know, like, I guess like if it's a happy ending, sure, it's fine. But... when I went to community college, I took a film class, and we watched, you know, Clockwork Orange, all those, you know, Citizen Kane, that kind of stuff. And I learned a lot of stuff that I would have never known if I didn't take the class. And it definitely impacts the way I've watched movies going forward. But now it's just, I've kind of tried to distance myself from it, because it, like you said, it does kind of ruin what the overall experience is supposed to be.
Yeah, and, you know, people are always looking for, like, the hidden meanings in movies and stuff, too. It's just like... For me, I'm just watching the movie thinking like, well, okay, that's a pretty cool shot. You know, like the director probably just liked the way that looked, you know, and maybe not necessarily there's some hidden meaning behind it. And I feel like a lot of these critics and reviewers try to make up this stuff that maybe necessarily is not what they're
not
intending.
So.
But that's my tangent for the day.
Yeah, yeah, great tangent. A great tangent.
Well, maybe we'll have to check out the IMAX theater.
Yeah,
Cincy.
Maybe we'll take a picture of it, tweet it out. For our loyal viewers. Kyle, are you concerned about our interior line right now?
Truthfully, yes.
Yeah, me too.
I am.
Me too.
I don't like that KO missed last week.
I hate it. I hate the Mongo. We were talking about earlier about the versatility of Mongo, how valuable he is to this team. He plays all three inside positions on the line. And, love that.
No,
Gabe's a little banged up right now, too.
Took the words out of my mouth. Not enough credit goes to the guard positions, right? And especially now that we don't have our starters in those positions, or maybe we will, Lord willing.
Yeah.
But I feel like the tackles are always the ones that receive the most beef. But those guard positions, man, oh my goodness.
Those are the grinders.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and thankfully, we still have Rodney Hudson.
Yes. Blessing. Countless blessings to Rod.
Rodney is just the ultimate warrior.
Yeah.
Through thick and thin.
But, I mean, you guys, I mean, we all loved seeing Derek do his thing, fourth quarter Derek return on Sunday. Fourth quarter Derek doesn't do his thing unless he's got tons of time to operate.
Yeah, if he's not upright, we're not going to win.
And I do not love, and it's no shot at anyone else on the roster, but KO is an all-pro type player. Rodney is a pro bowler. Gabe should be a pro bowler.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at that interior line and, those are some grown men, and so even Mongo, when Mongo's in there, Mongo, a very quality player, a guy that probably would start on 31 other teams if he wasn't on this line. But yeah, man, I'm nervous. I'm a little I believe in our guys. I believe in Coach Cable getting them coached up, getting them where they need to be come game time. But, man, that's a big ask. And I know that the Bengals defense doesn't necessarily strike the fear of God in anyone, but, I mean, they got 20-something sacks this year. They can get after the quarterback.
I mean, they got Carlos Dunlap and Geno Atkins. Those are two dudes that are proven defensive linemen in the NFL. So, regardless of what the overall statistics say about their defense, those two guys can get after it. And so I think they'll obviously try to exploit that we don't have as much help on the inside as we typically would. But it's going to be a fun one.
It is. It's going to be a lot of fun. Keep an eye on the weather, too. We don't know. Yeah, it's going to be cold. We'll see if it's raining and cold or just cold, but time will tell. But, man, it's going to be a good one. It's another winnable game. I can't believe I'm going to say that. It's a winnable game, a road winnable game for this team right now.
Which is obviously a positive. We want to keep
absolutely.
The good vibes rolling.
And don't blink now. And I told you guys this the other day. This team over the past month playing 500 football.
They are. They are. And, you know, as a man who loves the draft, would I love to see us get a higher pick? Sure. But would I also like to see some more wins in the old column? I would like to see that as well.
I just want to, you know, if you go from picking 5 to picking 11 and you win out, I'm totally cool with that. 100% cool with that. Let's just do it. Let's win out. Let's get funky.
Dude,
let's win some ball games.
There's a lot of talented players in that region, too. I mean, Devin Bush from Michigan, linebacker, stud. Oh, yeah. There's available players back that late, too. We don't need – I mean, sure, yes, the top three would be ideal, but we could make 9, 10, 11 work.
I wish you guys could see how big Kyle's eyes just got. The man is
– I love
draft. The man is gassed up.
Love scouting.
He's fired up. He's fired up. All right, Kyle, we're going to get out of here. We got work to do, but let's play everyone's favorite game. Kyle, the Raiders are going to win on Sunday if –
our backups can hold down the fort in the trenches, man. I mean, like we said just a moment ago, the interior line is going to play a big role in whether or not Derek's able to successfully dink and dunk or stretch the field all game.
Yeah. Mine's going to be similar. Mine's going to be if the defense, the DBs in particular, can keep rocking and rolling. I mean, the Cincinnati offense, no offense to the great Jeff Driscoll, but – they don't have Andy Dalton. They don't have A.J. Green. I mean, they are down a lot of weapons. Mm-hmm. So, if we can make the Bengals one-dimensional, limit the points they put up, statistically speaking, that Bengals defense is not the best. We'll say it like that. No disrespect to anyone, but statistically not the best. This offense and Derek are rocking. They're feeling good. They're in a rhythm. That fourth quarter was probably the best offensive football we've seen all year. Let's get funky.
One more thing to add, too. Paul Gunther, defensive coordinator.
Gunt Daddy going home.
He knows what makes offensive players on the Bengals side tick. Giovanni Bernard is elusive. He knows he can get out of the backfield. He knows Joe Mixon is an explosive and can be a powerful runner. So we can't discredit the man's knowledge of what we're walking
into. No, certainly not. And you know I'm Team Gunth.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big Gunth guy.
How can you not be?
I'm going to get a T-shirt, Gunth guy.
If you find where those are made, if you get that made, we should get them all for the studio.
Yeah, we'll make them ourselves. We'll do it ourselves. And on that note, we're out of here. We got a big game Sunday. We're flying on Friday. We're heading to Ohio. It's going to be cold. We're going to have a good time, though. So, Freddie Pascal, Kyle Martin, Daryl Worley, producer Trav and engineer Jim. This is it. We're out of here. We will catch you guys later, and we will catch up next week on another episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.